There was an absolutely insane op-ed over the weekend in the New York Times. What is the title? Ancient Judaism recognized a range of genders. It's time we did too. Now, what I find entertaining about this is the person who wrote it is most likely an anti-Israel activist who doesn't recognize anything the Torah or the Talmud says about Israel or any of that kind of stuff, but chooses selectively to grab a few things completely out of context. Ancient Judaism. You know, people still study the Talmud. People still study the Torah. In fact, on a fairly regular basis. And you should know everything you need to know about this article from the first line from Elliot Kolka, who I've never heard of before, claims they're a rabbi, but I think they probably use two proofs of purchase and $3 in shipping and handling to get their ordination. Here's the first line. I'm not a detail-oriented person. Maybe you should have tried looking at the translations of a lot of this stuff and reading them in context. Joining us now on the KVI studio line is Rabbi Yaakov Menken, Managing Director for the Coalition for Jewish Values. Thank you for being back with us today, sir.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Now, Rabbi, I am sure I am not as well-versed in the Talmud as you are. I study like anybody else who's an Orthodox Jew. But at the same time, this whole thing is complete nonsense. I could tell just from an above scanning of this thing.
I've been biting back laughter about this article since I've seen it. I mean, it doesn't actually take a whole lot of Jewish education to recognize that in the book of Genesis, it says, male and female, he created them. There are two genders. Period. Full stop. We're done. We can go home now.
Right. I mean, let's just do this for a second. So when you speak Hebrew, let's compare it to Spanish for a second. It's male pronouns. It's female pronouns. That's how the language works. There's nothing else. Where are they getting all this stuff from, Rabbi?
Well, they're getting it from their woke ideology. They're just trying to apply it to Judaism. This shows up in so many different contexts. That they say, you know, tikkun olam, we believe in repairing the world. So anything they want to do is their new religion. And they actually apply it to, you know, those of us who observe Judaism, follow the Jewish religion. The tikkun olamites want Judaism to follow them, to grant a stamp of religious authority and whatever it is that they want to believe and anything they want to do. And, of course, that simply doesn't work. As I said, the book of Genesis is extremely clear. What the Talmud is realistic about is biology. There is such a thing, an aberration, where a baby is born manifesting signs eventually of being both male and female, or neither of the above. And all of these are biological abnormalities, which the Talmud speaks about. None of this is about a person deciding after birth that they are a different gender than all 100 million cells in their body declare.
This is just bonkers crazy that they went this route, because anybody who speaks Hebrew, anybody who's read the Torah, anybody who's read Genesis or Deuteronomy or Leviticus or any of those books in the original Hebrew, even in the original English of the King James Bible or anything like that, can tell you exactly what this says. And yet the New York Times published this thing. I got to assume they got a Jew or two on staff over there who could do some basic fact checking and go, this is bunk. Maybe we shouldn't publish this. Because, you know, to get published in the New York Times, the amount of fact checking stuff they make you go through, even for an op-ed, is insane. I've had friends who get published in the New York Times. They say, you want to believe what they maybe do for an opinion, for an op-ed. How does something like this get published, Rabbi? I mean, there's nothing accurate about it.
The New York Times only cares about the narrative that they wish to follow. I mean, that's why Barry Weiss no longer works there. They have, and of course, look at the obsessive attack that they're in the middle of doing on yeshiva education. They want to promote woke progressivism, so they will publish anything with zero factual basis, with zero authority, as long as it promotes a woke version of Judaism, while they also do, simultaneously, classically anti-Semitic and anti-factual attacks on yeshiva education, because a yeshiva is the ultimate unwoke enterprise in world history.
I don't think they're going to be happy until they just destroy everybody's religion. Because for them, religion is the enemy of all this, because it's what so many of us believe in.
So it's obvious. I mean, they start with Judaism because Judaism is the root of all monotheistic faiths and the belief in such a thing as a moral authority and a God. And you work out from there. Once you're done with the Jews, you'll take care of the Christians. Then they'll finally realize that Islam is not the bastion of tolerance that they paint it to be, but it's also extremely unwoke.
You know, I'm reading this article, Rabbi, and the amount of ignorance that's in it. I mean, this person can't even quote any of this stuff accurately. They've got the title Rabbi, but I guess when you can identify as however you want these days, I could say I'm a rabbi, and boom, I am.
You can get a mail order rabbinic ordination these days. And I don't mean a place that actually makes you take tests and send them in and good tests and, you know, reliable stuff and get and then go meet a rabbi and actually get tested for your knowledge in detailed intricacies of Jewish law. No, I'm talking about, you know, you have the Jewish knowledge of the back of a postage stamp and you can still get a quote-unquote ordination. Look at the rabbi in Florida who's suing about the abortion laws as he believes in something called cosmic Judaism. He demonstrated that he doesn't actually know anything about Judaism at all. And the same thing is true of this so-called rabbi writing this op-ed in the New York Times. As you said, it's filled with ignorance.
So when I hear cosmic Judaism, I think Leonard Nimoy giving the Vulcan salute because that's traced back to the priest, the Kohanim in Judaism. That's what I think when I think cosmic Judaism. But I assume that's not what this person actually meant by it.
Well, actually, that would be because Leonard Nimoy was a lot closer to the real thing than this guy. But, you know, I guess before I'd heard of cosmic Judaism, I said, Houston, reality as ideology has departed from reality and is headed out into deep space. And that's what cosmic Judaism is all about.
Unbelievable. You know, Rabbi, I'm also looking at the survey that came out last week. We saw this poll that for the first time in our country's history, that the Democrats are supporting the Palestinians over Israel by a bigger majority. We used to have a 2-to-1 advantage the other direction. It's getting worse all the time. My answer to that was, well, when you make Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, AOC, and the rest of the squad, the superstars of your party, and everybody's afraid to go head-to-head with them, what do you expect to happen? What do you see when you see a poll like this?
Racism.
So why exactly would you say, why would you phrase it that way?
Because the Palestinians, first of all, we all know what the promised land is. We all know to whom it was promised. So we're all good on that. Palestine was a name the European colonialists put on the promised land of the Jews, not that it lacks indigenous names. For the next 2,000 years, Jews were the only ones called Palestinians. There's a Palestinian Talmud, a Palestinian Gaonet, the four holy cities of Palestine, and the Palestinian soccer club was a bunch of European immigrants who spoke Hebrew and Miss Palestine spoke Yiddish. All of a sudden, the Israelis discard the colonialist name in favor of the indigenous one, Israel. 20 years later, Arabs pick up the name Palestinian and claim that they had that name all the time, to the point where Mahmoud Abbas presented a copy of the Palestine Post to the Saudi Arabians. Guess what? The Palestine Post is today's Jerusalem Post. It was a Zionist American English-speaking newspaper. Absolute insanity to call Arabs Palestinian. But today, when they talk about Palestinians in Israel, they mean anybody who ever lived in mandatory Palestine, British mandatory Palestine, who was not a Jew. A Jew there for 800 years? No, they're an occupier. But a Druze, a Bedouin, an Arab, Muslim, American, anybody we can cobble together is a Palestinian as long as they are not Jews. And that, of course, is racism.
Rabbi Yaakov Menken, Managing Director of the Coalition for Jewish Values. Thank you, as always, for your clarity and for joining us today. We really do appreciate it.
Thanks so much. Have a great evening.
We got a whole lot more to discuss as the show continues, including our good news giveaway, our good news headlines. You're listening to The Ari Hoffman Show on Talk Radio 570 KVI.